I'm excited to be here today to be talking about an evaluation of a pilot intervention that to address vaccine hesitancy using parent advocates. And I think there's our disclosures. I don't have anything to disclose, no financial disclosures. And today's presentation, before I get into that, I wanted to acknowledge that the media community, which is what the program was called, was created through a public-private partnership. Actually, I'm going to go back here. And all the members of the partnership are Group Health, Seattle Children's, the State Department of Health, Within Reach, and Best Start Washington. And it was implemented by Within Reach, which is a nonprofit organization that helps connect Washington families with health resources. And Mackenzie Melton, can you put your hand up? She was the kind of lead for the implementation of the program. And she presented earlier today. I don't know, did anyone go to that presentation? A couple people? Our presentation will look very similar. and I'm with the Group Health Research Institute, the Center for Community Health Evaluation. I was the PI for the evaluation. So our presentation today, I want to cover just a very little bit of background about the project and how it came to be. Then we'll look at the evaluation aims and methods. I'll talk a little bit about some key findings and lessons learned. So the background. The immunity community came out of a growing awareness amongst key leaders that there was a vaccine hesitancy problem emerging in Washington State, and these two maps kind of are indicators of that. The first map from 1999 shows that there were only five counties that had kindergarten exemption rates that were less than 5% in 1999. In 2011, there were over 20 counties with kindergarten exemption rates over 5%, and there were 8 with counties that were above 10%. And in 2011, the overall exemption rate, kindergarten exemption rate, was 6.2%. Now, that decreased in 2013 to 4.6%. However, even with that 4.6%, Washington State is still one of the highest kindergarten exemption rates in the nation. And in still today, I looked at the latest rates just before I came here today. There are still some smaller school districts that have exemption rates that are as high as 30 or 40%. So this is a kind of big concern for our public health officials in the state of Washington. Now, despite that alarming exemption rate, the Vax Northwest partnership found some promising kind of results as well from literature reviews and some focus groups that were done. I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. Especially if you're at the other one, you've heard these before, that parents really want to do what's best for their kids. That's really their key goal. And that they're very interested in gathering information from their social networks. And so those social networks were a good place to target for a intervention. And that most parents immunize. So they're the silent majority who are out there, but we're not hearing from them like we are the anti-vaccine groups. And another finding that was really important is that in focus groups, when parents got information about what herd immunity or community immunity is, and when they were kind of sensitized to this issue, they quickly became activated. In the focus groups, they were saying, what can we do? So with that information, Vax Northwest went forward and developed the immunity community. And I'll just give a few facts about the immunity community. First of all, the key idea was that you're going to engage lay advocates, parent advocates, to increase positive talk about vaccinations. And we used a kind of a place-based approach, but from a different angle, in the sense that we wanted to focus on one community. So we tried to cluster our sites within a kind of defined geographic area. So the first year, a suburban area just outside of Seattle was picked. And all of the, it was a school district boundaries, but there were other organizations that we also engaged in those areas. So one geographic area was picked, and that was for the first 2 years of the pilot. And then in the third year of the pilot, an additional site was picked in a more rural area up by the Canadian border. The town is called Bellingham, and it had a higher exemption rate. So we wanted to test it in an area that had higher exemption rates. In each of these, each of the areas, sites were recruited, and then parent advocates were recruited at those sites. The aim was to have 1 to 2 parent advocates. And there also a site representative was recruited. That was important, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And I also wanted to just have an aside that I might say, I'll try to say parent advocate. We called them PAs. So if I say PA, I really mean parent advocate. So then parent advocates were given training and were expected to do about an hour a week of advocacy work. A brand was developed for the Mennonite community, and the point of the brand was to really have a social marketing brand that parents wanted to share with other parents. And I don't have time to go through, there's a whole suite of materials, I don't have time to go through them all, but I wanted to give a flavor for them. This is the parent action guide, and it had information about vaccines, guidance about having difficult conversations with other parents, ideas for the kind of advocacy parents might do, and up-to-date resources. And it was all bound up in a nice little booklet that they could actually put in their pocketbook or a backpack. And this was kind of the keystone around the training was kind of organized around. And then here are some viral images that were used in the third year, but I picked them because they give you a good sense of the feel and look of a lot of the materials. So over on the far right, those four images were the initial kind of images that were developed for the campaign. On the far left here are what we call the Real Families series, and they included posters and other materials with real families that were recruited in Washington State. And there was also some videos that were done in collaboration with those. So those are the kind of, and then the ones in the middle were some new ones for this viral image campaign that are holiday related. So moving on to the main point of the presentation, which is the evaluation. And the evaluation had several aims. The first was just to really do a detailed documentation of the intervention itself so that it could be spread, so that we really knew what pieces, what was done on each stage, and so we could document that and communicate that. Another was to provide formative feedback to the program, and that was done each year. And in fact, those Real Families images that I just showed were the result of part of that formative feedback. Another was to gather evidence for whether the intervention was contributing to the desired outcomes. And we had used a logic model approach. I didn't have time to go through the whole logic model, but you'll see that our findings are organized around those outcomes. And then identify best practices and factors that led to success. So we used a variety of qualitative and quantitative data collection methods, and that they included observation and document review. We did some standard media tracking using Google Alerts and looking at website visits. But we also did something I think is relatively unique, which was we developed an activity log for each of the parent advocates. And every 2 weeks, we asked them to go in there and log what they were doing. And we, at the end of each year, we analyzed that as data, and you'll see some results from those. We did a parent survey, and I'm going to talk about that in more detail in a minute. We did key informant interviews with the parent advocates, the site representatives, with Vax Northwest representatives, and with the implementers of the program, McKinsey and others who are implementing the program. And we did those each year, so we had over 80 interviews. And we also did focus groups with parents at the end of each year. So some of the findings, and as I said, these findings are organized around our key outcomes. And so the first short-term outcome was really, can you engage parents and sites in this? We didn't know whether anyone would sign on to do this and how well that they would actually get engaged in this work. So you'll see this infographic represents that progress over time. In the first year, there were 4 sites recruited with 6 PAs. And a lot of the effort in the first year was really developing the materials and the systems for recruiting sites and parent advocates. And then the second year, there was we were still in the one community, the first community. There was an expansion to 7 sites. 4 of those sites were new and 3 were continuing sites. There were 13 PAs. And one of the feedback pieces, loops that we got from the evaluation was that having 2 parent advocates was really helpful because that allowed people to kind of play off each other's strengths and have somebody who's to support them. So we there was a real goal of having two PAs that second year, two parent advocates, sorry. And then in the third year, there was expansion to that the second community. There were 10 sites, 14 PAs. And then you'll see down at the bottom the expansion of the training and materials as well. So this piece, there was really good accomplishment of this first short-term goal. The next was, can you really engage advocates to do something? And what we found was there were kind of three big areas that advocates, parent advocates worked in. And the first was monitoring their site's vaccination rates. And one thing, and I don't know what other states are like, but in Washington State, there is a fair amount of policy and infrastructure saying that childcare and schools need to report their vaccination rates. There's better infrastructure so that the public school data gets into the public health department. There is very little infrastructure and reinforcement and resources to make sure the childcare data gets into the state. So one of the big things was a lot of childcare didn't even know what their rates were. So the parents could, by asking for those vaccination rates, could start that conversation going. And a lot of times they found they just didn't have the resources to collect that information on a regular basis or didn't know when or how to collect it. So they helped the sites do that. So that was one main area of activity. And then there was some activities around education. So there were events, question and answer sessions. They would put content in newsletters or have a PTA meeting where they talked about the issue. And then there was also one-on-one engagement. So there's a whole variety of things they did to educate other parents. And then there was a lot of discussion generated via social media, mainly through Facebook. And I mentioned the activity log earlier. Here are the results from our analysis of the activity log. I know there's a lot of information on this slide. What I really want to emphasize are a couple things. One is you'll see there's a lot of the stripe, the colors across are the different years. And you'll see there's a lot of variation from year to year. And that was partly due to who the parent advocates were in that particular year and also how much time they had and what they were really interested in at that moment. And we saw that as actually a real positive, as did the participants, because it allowed each site to do what made sense and at the local level and also to really play on the skills and interests and excitement of each of their parent advocates. So we see a lot of variation there. I wanted to highlight one of the parent advocates, and this is Allison. She's a stay-at-home mom of three children. They range in age from 6 months to 6 years old. Her husband's a family doctor, and she got activated hearing another parent educator talk about this issue. And you can see here all the things that Allison did in 1 year. She had 17 conversations with other parents. She sent 11 emails. She participated in two major events. And I have a quote from her in just a second. She disseminated the immunity community materials and had a bunch of planning and meeting activities as well. And I have a quote from her. She said, "My biggest success this year was organizing two booths at community festivals. This community outreach offered a great opportunity for parent advocates to engage with the public in a non-threatening, positive manner to share information about vaccines. I saw a lot of smiles, laughter, great conversation happening all around me at the immunity community-sponsored booths." All right. So next, I want to talk about the parent survey. We surveyed the parents at each of these sites. The survey was designed as a pre-post cross-sectional web-based survey. And the pre was done the first year that a site was in the program. And we really tried to time the baseline to happen once they were in the program, but before the parent advocates had done any activities at their site. So those were the pre-baseline. And then the posts were done in both the spring of 2013 and 2014. The purpose was really to quantify any changes we could find in parental knowledge, related attitudes about vaccines, and behaviors. That was kind of out there on our logic model, but we thought we might see some movement on behavior, and also to measure exposure to the program as well. Our response rates, for the pre, we had a 24% response rate, and it really ranged from 9% at some sites to 67% at other sites. And the hardest ones were the public schools, where you don't have as much clear community and ways to communicate. So those were some of the areas where we had lower response rates, and they're also very large. And then for the post, we had a 13% response rate. In total, we had 668 responses, 460 pre and 238 post, and we did some basic statistical tests on pre-post changes. So, again, we were structured around our outcomes, and one of those was parental knowledge. We wanted to see increased parental knowledge around vaccine-related issues. And this slide shows we had good trends in that direction. We had increases in the issue of parents' knowledge of the issues around vaccine hesitancy, state vaccination rates, herd immunity, what herd immunity was. And then we had actually had a statistically significant change in the number of parents that reported knowing their child's school or childcare vaccination rates. And that's the orange. The statistically significant findings are in orange. We also wanted to see parental overall attitudes change. And in this area, we actually, as you can see, had a little more dramatic results. We had increases in, we saw statistically significant increases in parents' concerns about other parents not vaccinating their children, a decrease in those who believed that giving vaccines were given to children who are too young, a decrease in the feeling that it's the responsibility of just individuals to vaccinate, whether the kids should vaccinate, that there are some community input that should happen there, and an increase in the number of parents reporting that they're confident that vaccines are a good decision, vaccinating is a good decision. We also saw a statistically significant change in the from pre to post in the number of parents who reported being vaccine hesitant on a 4-point scale. Another outcome was wanting the messages to reach beyond the individual sites to the local community. Like I said, we had a kind of a place-based approach. And we actually had success not only in getting out beyond the local community. We saw a lot of great synergy between the sites. Sometimes the sites came together in the whole community and did community-level advocacy. But we also saw some national recognition. And this is a Time magazine article that highlighted, it was on vaccine hesitant parents, but they quoted one of the parent advocates and mentioned the immunity community program specifically. And then the other is Bellingham Herald had a front page article on the program. Another outcome was that one of the nurses, that the school nurses, got a Health Champion of the Year award from the Washington State Public Health Association, and very much tied to her work with the immunity community. And then the last outcome I want to talk about is policy change, and that was one of our intermediate outcomes. And we were, again, looking for organizational or local policy change, but what we actually got was a statewide policy change. Within Reach and the immunity community parent advocates who were at a cooperative preschool started talking to the state organization that oversees all cooperative preschools in Washington State, and they actually provide the curriculum and training for all the parents and tell them how to set up these cooperative preschools. It affects 10,000 parents in Washington State. They changed their risk management manual to include several revisions, which included an introduction to immunizations and why they're important, instructions on how to keep records with regard to immunizations, and they instructed that sites should designate 1 to 2 people to be in charge of record keeping. And then there are guidelines in terms of reporting disease outbreaks. And none of this, there was no guidance before the immunity community, and so now all of the cooperative preschools get this material. And there's just an anecdote. One of our team members who wasn't involved in the project at this time came back and said she was interviewing at a cooperative preschool and went to a board meeting, and they were trying to pick who would be designated as the record keeper. So that, I mean, it had very real impact. All right, so I'm going to really go through quickly the lessons learned. And Mackenzie talked about these more in detail in her presentation if you want to go back and listen to them. But one thing is you've got to have organizational support and leadership. You can't go into these sites without having that they can put up a lot of barriers. Both the site leaders and even teachers can put up barriers to things getting done. Mackenzie's and her team's support was overwhelmingly praised by the parent advocates and was an incredibly important part of the success of this program. And then having a site where parents were already had mechanisms to talk to each other, there was places to congregate, they had set parent meetings, was really important. And then recruitment was really difficult, I'll just say, and takes a lot of resource. In terms of implementation, there were a number of challenges just for parent advocates having the time. And then it is very time-intensive and a high-resource model, and right now we're experimenting with less resource-intensive models. And our next steps are this lower-resource model, looking at that, and we're evaluating that at this time. All right. And I want to thank Mackenzie and all the parent advocates.